The second question tonight is this. Why do we not have musical instruments? And I suggested that this question be put in the question box a couple of months ago, and so somebody did that, and I think it's a good question. We're not going to get into all of the details of it tonight. There's a lot of things that we could say about this, and in fact, I have several lessons on this particular question, and maybe I'll preach some of those lessons in the future so that we can study this some more. But I'm going to try to give a pretty simple answer to this question tonight. And the simple answer to the question is this, that the and here's the answer. Why don't we have musical instruments? Because the church in the New Testament did not worship with musical instruments. And since we want to be like them, then we don't worship with instruments, musical instruments. Now that's the simple answer to the question. Now there's a lot of objections and a lot of people make up other arguments why we should do it one way or another. I'm not going to get into all that tonight. All I'm going to say is what the New Testament says about worshiping God with music. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, we read these words, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now that's what the Bible says about worshiping God with music, that our music is to be singing. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 is another passage. It says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we sing and we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We sing with grace in our hearts, favor in our hearts to the Lord. And when we sing, we are, according to Ephesians 5:19, we are speaking to one another. And according to Colossians 3:16, we are teaching and admonishing one another. And so this is singing words within a songbook, words that have meaning, words that exhort and encourage and build us up. And that's the kind of thing that we do in worship to God because that's simply what the Bible says to do. And so there's no need to add to that by adding a bunch of musical instruments. And there's no need to take away from that by telling everybody to be quiet and just letting one person or a couple of people sing, you know. And so basically what we have here then is that God tells us to sing and we sing. And that's as simple of answer as we can give. But let's think a little bit about what worship is for a moment, because we really need to understand what worship is about. You see, worship is about God and not us. And I think sometimes that people get into some kind of church or something like that, and they get to thinking that the worship is about them and that the worship is about entertaining them and satisfying them and making them happy and that kind of thing. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, don't get me wrong. We're certainly blessed when we worship God as God wants us to worship Him. But listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. He says this, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Did you hear that? Who is the Father seeking to worship Him? People who will worship in spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. He wants people who are going to worship Him, first of all, and secondly, that are going to worship Him in spirit and truth. And then Jesus says this, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit. What does that mean? It means that He's not of this world. He's not fleshly. He's not carnal. He's not made of physical things. And physical things aren't how God wants us to worship Him. He doesn't want us to be worshipped with, you know, physical. And so using instrumental music is very physical. It's very carnal. It's very fleshly. And so it's not in line with God being a spirit and our trying to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean, in spirit and in truth? Well, it means in spirit with the right attitude and in truth with the right actions. Consider what Jesus said about the Pharisees, because they offered vain or empty worship. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, he says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." You see, they had turned their worship into something carnal, into something earthly, into something humanly devised. That's what they had done. And so because they did that, Jesus said their worship was vain. Well, we don't want our worship to be vain. We don't want our worship to be empty. And so our attitudes and actions toward God must be correct when we worship Him. And so another reason we don't worship with instrumental music is because simply God never says to do that within His Word. From the standpoint of He's told us He wants us to worship in spirit. He's told us He wants to worship in truth. And so He's given us in His Word what the attitudes in worship should be. He's given us in His Word what the actions of worship should be. And so we should just respect the things that He's given us. And when it comes to worshiping musically, He tells us, as we said earlier, simply to sing. And so that's what we do. Now, one more thought along this line. In Romans chapter 10, in verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul writes these things. He says this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, Paul could have been talking to a lot of religious people today when he wrote this statement. Because there's a lot of people out there who have a zeal for God, don't they? I mean, you can see that they have a zeal and that they pursue this. They do have a zeal for God, but as Paul says, their zeal is not according to knowledge. See, we want to have zeal for God, but we want that zeal to be according to knowledge. And that knowledge comes from the Word of God. And then he says this, "Being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." Well, we want to avoid that kind of attitude. We don't want to seek our own righteousness. We don't want to go out and try to invent our own way of doing things. We don't want to, as God's people, we don't want to tell God how we're going to worship Him. We want to let God inform us so that our righteousness can be according to knowledge and that it won't be we won't have an ignorance of God's righteousness, and we won't establish our own righteousness by doing that. And so we submit ourselves to the righteousness of God, and that means respecting what Christ has said in His Word about worship. Now, this is true not only for worship, but for morality, for salvation, for church organization, and all of the things that the Scriptures talk about. Anything that we do that we go off on our own and say, "Oh, I'm going to do this my own way," we're not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God when we do that. And so when we seek to do the things that we want to do instead of the way God wants to do them, we become self-righteous. And that's what many people in the religious world have done today by seeking to worship God in some way that they want to worship Him, but not respecting what God has said in His Word about worshiping Him. How much better is it to simply let Christ make our righteousness for us by listening to His Word and obeying it? Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, he said this, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then he said this in verse 17, "For therein, that is within the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, even as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith." Now, where is the righteousness of God revealed? It's revealed in the gospel. And those who believe the gospel will live by faith in that gospel. Now let's add one more scripture to this. How do we get faith today? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so by simply hearing the word of God and having faith in God, we can worship God according to His righteousness, not according to our own, and we can be faithful to Him And we don't have to use instrumental music to do that. In fact, to use instrumental music would be to establish our own righteousness instead of trying to submit to the righteousness of God. So we really don't want to do that in our worship.